Amen. What a wonderful story and song. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for godly music. I still remember the first month after I was saved, someone gave me a CD full of Fanny Crosby hymns. I thought, all right, well, I'll give it a go. And I'd gotten rid of all my songs off my iPod and put these ones on. And I remember every night listening to these wonderful hymns as I went to sleep. And there was something that had been switched on that was never there before. And that was a wonderful joy in Christ that hasn't changed. I hope you value these wonderful hymns. Fanny Crosby certainly was a lady who lived by faith. Amen. Looked to heaven by faith and lived for the Lord. And a wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance. Well, this evening we're going to the book of Mark as we continue our series concerning the miracles of Christ. Let's look in Mark chapter number 1 at verses 21 to 28. Mark chapter number 1, verses 21 to 28. If you follow with me as I read along, beginning in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Amen. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we know we don't need to ask you to bless your word. Lord, your word is already blessed. Your word is already true. We ask that you would help us to understand your word. We pray that the Spirit of God would minister to our hearts and our lives as we are helped and challenged and encouraged, Lord, to rejoice in Thee, Lord, who You are. Lord, You are a miracle-working Saviour. We thank You for Your love. Lord, we thank You for what You reveal about Yourself and this life of faith You've given us to live. We pray that You would do Your work in our midst this evening, so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've seen through these studies on the miracles of Christ, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ turned up on the scene and he spoke and he displayed his miraculous power, everyone stood back in awe. He caused quite a stir. You know, when people heard his words right here in verse number 22, the Bible says that they were astonished. They were astonished because he taught as one that had authority, not like the Pharisees. And then the Bible says that they were astonished in verse, amazed in verse 27 when they saw his miraculous works. When they heard him speak, they said, Never man spake like this. When they saw him work, they said, Never we saw it on this fashion. You see, because of the Lord's miraculous power, the Lord Jesus Christ left them stunned, astonished, amazed by his divine teaching and his miraculous works. Now, as we look into the miracles of Christ, please remember the miracles that we are enjoying are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. They help to reveal the Lord's person, and we certainly have some wonderful lessons to learn about the Lord and also about the spiritual reality and the life of faith that we live in. So tonight we're going to look at the miracle of the synagogue demoniac. This is the first time we see a demon-possessed person and a miracle of God involved that we have looked at. And so let's learn something about this scene that the Lord reveals to us and how we can live by faith and live for the Lord. Well, notice first of all in Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we learn something about the existence of demons. The existence of demons. There in verse 23, the Bible says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." With an unclean spirit. Later on, we see in the scriptures that the Lord rebukes him and he has delivered that man, but we see that there was a demon in the man, wasn't there? There was a demon in the man. Now, what the Bible says is actual history and factual truth. You know, liberal so-called Bible scholars would say, well, the people in the Bible days, they were just simple. So when they found someone with a mental illness, they just claimed that there must be a demon in them. There must be a demon in that person because they were simple-minded. They didn't understand the complexities of the human brain. And the Lord Jesus, he just went along with them. And so did the gospel writers, obviously making Christ and the gospel writers liars. Well, that's not true. Demons exist. The devil exists. We need to understand that part of the world in which we live, we need to understand that God has called us to live by faith and to know that we are living in a supernatural world. The devil is real. Demons are real. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. Just one book back, a few chapters back. Matthew 25. Notice with me in verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Verse 41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his," say the next word, "angels." The devil and his angels. You see, the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. God did not create the lake of fire for mankind. But the problem is mankind also sinned as the devil and his angels had sinned. And so therefore we deserve to go to the same place. But notice what the Bible says, the devil and his angels. You see, when Lucifer sinned against God in heaven, he was cast out. But he was not the only one that sinned. He drew many angels with him that also sinned, and they were cast out with him. And today the devil exists in this world, and his angels, his demons with him. We need to understand that demons exist. We live in a day of spiritual reality. And as Christians, we need to know that they do exist. They are real. Notice what the Bible says. This demon is described as being unclean. That's the opposite to being holy. Amen? God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, these demons, just like the devil, are unclean. They are unholy. The word unclean means foul. In fact, it means morally impure. You see, the Bible describes to us this demon because God wants us to know there is nothing good in him. There is nothing good in the devil. There is nothing good in the demons of this world. They are evil, without any cleanness, without any goodness. They are unclean. Now, let me just say this before we go on. You know, we live in a generation that is obsessed with darkness, that is obsessed with the occult, wouldn't you agree? Especially up here in Cairns. Lots of new age hippies, if you will, let me put it that way, obsessed with the spirituality of this world, but really it's the darkness of this world. It's the, if we understand our Bibles right, it's demonic forces. Demonic realities. I mean, we know what God thinks about witchcraft, do we not? God hates it. It's devilish. It's demonic. Wizardry. Amen? We know what God thinks about wizardry. Just read your Old Testament and you'll see Saul was up to and how wickedly he did and what God hates. God hates darkness. Why? Because of the devil. Because of demons. There is no good in them. There is no light in them. And young people, let me say this, there's lots of young people around us dabbling in the occult, dabbling in the darkness of this world that want to draw you in and say, hey, have a play with this. Have a look at this. Let me send you this link. There's some scary stuff out there. What was happening in this synagogue was frightening. Very frightening. If we see the spiritual reality, the devil and his demons are real. What does God say in Ephesians 5:11? Let's have a look together. Just a thought as we look at the existence of demons. What does God say in Ephesians 5:11? Let's look together. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Let's read verse 11 together if that's okay. Aloud on two. One, two. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now that's pretty clear, amen? God says as Christians, what is our part when it comes to the dark spiritual evils of this world? God says have nothing to do with it. Stay as far away as you can from it. Get it out of your life, get it out of your house, get it away from you. Don't hang around with anyone that's into demonic, occult wickedness. Stay away from it. Rather, reprove it. That means to speak out loud and condemn it for what it is, something that God hates. Amen? Now, by the way, God doesn't say here we need to reprove demons. That's not what the Lord is saying. Remember, God did not give the church-age Christians authority to exorcise demons from anyone. That is not our... we don't have the ability to do that. God has not called us to do that. Remember, the signs and miracles were for what? To confirm the Word of God. Amen? To confirm the Word of God with signs and wonders. So the apostles, the disciples had that ability to confirm God's Word, very simply. We don't need to confirm God's Word because we have His Word. Amen? We don't have the responsibility, the right. Some Christians think they do. And they're messing around with demonic forces that God has told us to flee from. Amen? To get away from. That's just a thought. We need to understand that this attraction to darkness is not of God. And the world would say this, even in the greatest darkness there is some good. What does God say? Unclean. Without cleanness, darkness, wickedness, no good in this demon whatsoever. He needed to be cast out. Amen? But demons do exist. Now, why was this man possessed of the devil? Well, we see that demons have the power to inhabit bodies of the unsaved. And we understand that, by the way, demons cannot possess a Christian. The Bible says that if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, our bodies are the temple of whom? The Holy Ghost. Okay? God's spirit and a demonic spirit can't exist in the same place. Cannot cohabit the same place. Thank God we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and He dwells within us. But within the unsaved, they can be possessed by demons. And that's real. We ought not to be watching any movies about it, by the way. That's demonic stuff. Excuse me. God says don't have anything to do with it. Because we understand they are real. They are real. Now, why did this demon possess this man? Simply because what's the will of the devil? To oppose the work of God. Why do demons possess men, women? Why do demons possess them? To oppose the work of God. To oppose the will of God. And is it any surprise then where we find this demon? He was in a man, but where was the man? In the synagogue. That's an important thing to understand. In the synagogue. Look, he was in the synagogue. What's the synagogue? The place of worship. The place of the truth of the Word of God. Where God's people, the Jews, came to hear about God's Word. Came to hear the declaring of God's Word. That's what Christ did. He preached the Word of God in the synagogue. And that's where God's Word was preached. And that's where Gentile seekers came to hear more. Amen. There was a section for them. They could come and listen in. That's where people came to seek the truth, to know more about the one true living God. And this is exactly where this demon-possessed man was. Now, is there anything happening today that shows history repeating itself? Well, let's have a look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The demon was in the man, the demon was in the synagogue. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit, which Spirit, by the way? Not the unclean Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's our day, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits, unclean, let me say that, unclean spirits, demonic powers, amen, and doctrines of whom? Devils. Now this is a serious verse. God's saying in the latter times there will be people who claim to be Christians that will indeed be seduced of the devil. That will indeed, that word seduce means that they will pay attention, give themselves over to a seducing spirit. Does that include demon possession? I believe it does. I believe that a Christian cannot be demon possessed, but he can be demon influenced. And I believe those pretending to be Christians are genuinely demon possessed. Now you might say, well, Pastor, if someone is literally demon possessed, well, we would all know it, wouldn't we? I mean, how can we say that someone who's teaching false doctrine and is taking away from the gospel is not just teaching false doctrine, but they may even be demon possessed? Wouldn't it be obvious to everyone? Well, let me ask the question. Where was the man? He was in the synagogue. He was unknown to those around him. That's where he was. They didn't realize that there was a demon in this man. He had crept in unawares. You see, he was in their very midst and they did not know it. We don't understand what he did there before, but obviously they were tolerating his presence in the synagogue. Is that correct? Absolutely. And you see, demons possess individuals in order to oppose the work of God. That's their goal, to oppose God's work, to oppose God's word. Notice what Jude chapter 1 and verse 4 says. Jude chapter 1 and verse 4. Hopefully some of these verses are becoming more familiar. Jude chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, for there are certain men crept in, what's the next word? Unawares. They didn't realize this man was even possessed in the synagogue. Crept in unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, wicked immorality, and denying the Lord, only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are doctrines of devils being taught today from the pulpits of big churches in this world, and I believe that as the devil is at work in the past, he's at work in the present. I believe some of these big name preachers and teachers are literally demon possessed, seducing spirits, and they're unknown. They've crept in unawares. But you can know them by their fruits, their doctrine, doctrines of devils. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's hard to imagine. That's the spiritual reality we live in. You see, we live in a world of great good and great evil. God is good, the devil is evil, and he is out to oppose the work of God. That's why as Christians we need to live a life of faith. Faith in the Word of God, in the understanding of what God says. You know, there in verse number 4, ungodly men, wicked men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's the false grace gospel, is it not? That if we have accepted Jesus Christ with a little prayer, asking him into our heart, we are under his grace. That means he lives in me, and whatever I do with my will and actions is God's will, whatever it may be. I can sin and it still pleases God. I can live the way I choose and indulge in all the lusts of the flesh, and it's still God's will because he lives within me. I'm under his grace. And any standards or any obedience to the word of God is legalism because I'm under grace. That's a doctrine of the devil. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. The Bible tells us that the grace of God causes us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. But you see, the false grace gospel is, hey, you can live as you please. That's the doctrine of the devil. And our televisions are full of them. Joel Osteen, go for your life. Joseph Prince, another one. Lots of truth comes out of his mouth, but then a switch is flipped. Amen? And he starts going off on this issue of grace. He's hooked on it. Why? Because he's preaching lies, doctrines of devils. Now, the reality is we need to be careful, don't we? Because demons exist. They can possess men to do the will of the devil, to oppose the work of God. There are many in pulpits today that deny the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the ability of Christ's blood alone to save us once and for all, denying the virgin birth, denying the resurrection, saying that there are other ways to get to God other than Jesus Christ. Ecumenism is of the devil. It's not of God. You see, we need to realize the existence of demons and devils. They're out there. They're at work. And there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Notice in verse 23 and 24, back in Mark chapter number 1. Are we doing all right this evening?
Yeah, right,
sir. Just a little thought about the spiritual reality in which we live. We need to be careful. Amen. We need to look unto Jesus and not play or dabble with demonic, devilish temptations out there. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. How did he respond to Jesus Christ saying, "Let us alone"? In other words, get out of here. Leave us alone. What are you doing here? That's what this demon said. Go away. We don't want anything to do with you. As soon as Christ, isn't interesting, started preaching the truth, and with power, the demon, raised his ugly head. No wonder these so-called preachers get away with a lot. Why? Because maybe not a lot of people there know the truth. Amen? And suddenly someone speaks out against them, and they're the enemy. See, Christ was the enemy to this demon. And the Bible says that he said, "Go away, we don't want anything to do with thee." And it wasn't the man that screamed, by the way, it was the demon that screamed. It was the demon that screamed. And they exist to oppose the work of God, the existence of demons. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the miracles of Christ are all about the Lord. But we do learn a lesson or two about the spiritual reality in which we live. We've seen the existence of demons. Notice the exiting of the demon. Amen? The exiting of the demon. Verse number 25. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.'" Notice the Lord Jesus rebuked the demon. He said, "Hold thy peace." That word literally means to be muzzled. In other words, shut your mouth. That's what the Lord said. "Hold your peace." And Jesus told the demon to shut his mouth and vacate the premises. Amen? The Lord said, "No, I'm not the one to go. You're the one to go." That's what the Lord said to this demon. Now, here's a question before we proceed. Why did the Lord Jesus cast out the demon when the demon was telling the truth about the Lord Jesus? Notice there in verse number 24. Verse 24, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Friends, that is much more than most Pharisees ever said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you agree? "I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Notice, first of all, truth mixed with error. Amen? There's some truth there. But then there's the devil's agenda. But the Lord still cast out the demon, even though he was speaking the truth. Well, what does that say? What does that communicate to us? God does not use the devil's work to communicate the truth. God does not use a demon-possessed preacher to save anyone, to preach the gospel. Sometimes we think, well, God is still using them in some sort of special way, and I can turn my television on and get something from them. No, God doesn't use them. God says you need to cast out the devil, and they need to get saved. Amen? That's what the Lord Jesus says. And you know, lots of excitement came out when this movie, The Passion of the Christ, was aired in cinemas. And lots of Christians got excited and say, finally, there's a movie that really tells it like it is. And Mel Gibson claims to be Australian. Now, that's a shame to us. You ought to just be American and stay over there, amen? We don't want anything to do with him. Why? Because he's a reprobate. He's wicked. He's not saved. He has a Catholic shrine in his backyard. And he made that movie to exalt Mary and not to exalt Jesus Christ. By the way, if the Lord Jesus wanted us to be there at the cross and see the butchery and the horrific acts that took place, he would have taken us there. We have the Word of God. That's all we need. The whole movie was demonic, not of God. God doesn't use Mel Gibson for anything good. God doesn't use the demon-possessed preachers of this day, demon-influenced preachers of this day, to preach the Word of God. He was telling the truth, wasn't he? And the Lord said, no. He said, be silent. Hold thy peace. Be silent. We see that throughout the Scriptures. Notice the demon tore him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, in verse 26, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Again, another thought. And we'll get to the Lord in a moment. You see, the demon realized that he had no authority before the Son of God. It was time to go. But what did he do? The Bible says he tore him. Luke's account tells us that no permanent damage was done. Nothing happened physically to this man to injure him permanently. But can you see the wickedness and the rage and the hatred of this demon? Didn't just come out, but tore him through this man in what seems like some sort of an epileptic fit into the center of the synagogue, and did as much as he could to stay, but knew he had to come out. And what we see in this picture is that exactly what the Lord says. Demons have no love for man. The devil has no sympathy for mankind. And we ought to have no sympathy for the devil, amen? You see, what this demon could not keep, he did everything he could to destroy. There's a thought. What this demon could not keep, he did everything to destroy. Now, as Christians, we cannot be possessed of the devil or demons, but we can be influenced. He cannot take away your salvation, but he does want to destroy your Christian life. Temptation, sin, spiritual wickedness. We need to stay right from it, amen? Sin is of the devil. That's how we need to see it. And so this demon was wicked and hateful and tore this man and thanked the Lord. Amen? The devil came out of him. The demon came out of him. The Bible says the demon immediately obeyed the Lord's command and left the poor body of this possessed man. Here we see the exiting of the demon. Amen? And this is the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, that Christ, in his love and in his miraculous power, has the ability to deliver anyone and everyone whom he wills. Amen. Here we see in the Word of God that Christ, with his word and the power of his might, was able to deliver this one, to deliver this man. Here we see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is able to deliver thee. That's what we sing. And it's true. He was able to deliver this man from the possession of this demon. In the power of his word delivered this man from the wicked one. In the power of this love, the Lord could see that there's no one lost person too far gone to be delivered. That's what we see about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we see in his miraculous power in the exiting of the demon. You know, it doesn't matter how much someone has fallen into sin, how much you and I may look upon someone and say, look, they're hopeless. They're never going to get saved. They're just spiraling down further and further. Church family, be encouraged. Christ has the power to save. Amen? Christ has the power to deliver. You see, when so often, again and again, when the Lord saw these poor cases that so many people gave up on, the Lord didn't see their sin. He looked past their sin and he looked at what could become of their life through the power of his grace. Amen? That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you and I need to see people around us. I believe genuinely there are some people possessed of demons around us that exist today. Maybe it's visible, maybe it's not. And sometimes we look at people and we think to ourselves, you know, I can't even possibly witness to that person. Look at how they look like. Piercings everywhere, tattoos everywhere, the dark makeup, dark nail polish, the gothic appearance, and they're into all sorts of occult practices. Let me assure you, friends, what they need is what this man needed. The Word of God. What they need to hear is the Word of God. Christ has the power to save. He hasn't called us to deliver anyone from demons, but He has called us to preach the supernatural gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we have the power to preach the gospel. We have the power to preach deliverance unto the captives. Amen. That's what God has called us to do, to preach the gospel. Regardless of the power of their addictions. You know, have you ever understood or thought about the reality of drugs in our world? You know, drugs are demonic. I believe that with all of my heart. Why? Because if someone can't think properly, they can't understand the gospel. And what do? Drugs cause the brain to malfunction and injure the brain so much that it's left unrepairable. The more a person takes drugs, the more they sink down into themselves. Drugs are demonic. We see that in the book of the Revelation, didn't we? That word pharmaceutical, pharmacy, pharmacia. We saw that word in Revelation, that drugs will be prevalent in a world that's out of control, and we're becoming that. We're going that way. But the reality is that even if a person is addicted, even if a person is on drugs, even if a person is, in our eyes, is unrecoverable, we still need to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We still need to see past their depravity and wickedness and look past their sin to the power of what Christ's grace can do in their life, the grace of salvation. See, it's a wonderful picture of our Lord's saving grace. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. What a wonderful Saviour we have. He is able to deliver thee. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." The word "committeth sin" is not speaking about the Christian that sins, it's speaking about a person who is hopelessly lost in habitual sin that cannot change. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might, say the next word,
destroy.
Amen? Destroy the works of the devil. When you and I are saved, He has destroyed the works of the devil in our life. No longer are we chained, bound, imprisoned by those chains of sin. He gives us freedom in Christ. He gives us a new nature. No longer are we condemned and bound to the sin nature within. We now have the nature of Christ, the spiritual nature, the Holy Spirit of God. And you see, that's the power of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful verse. That He might destroy the works of the devil. And that's how you and I need to witness. Amen? We need to approach people just like the Lord Jesus did. It was a horrific scene. Why? Because the Lord could see what was in the man. And sometimes we make opinions about people. We hesitate in our witnessing. We need to look with love. Amen? Upon the lives of those who we deem hopelessly lost. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. As we continue to look through these miracles, one after another, we'll see that in every hopeless case, Jesus was able to deliver that person, to save that soul, and change that life by His power. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." To the uttermost. Amen. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His power. What a wonderful example of the miraculous work of Jesus Christ. The existence of demons are real. The exiting of the demon was supernatural. Notice the excitement about Christ that followed. The excitement about Christ. Let me end with this thought. The excitement about Christ. Notice what the reaction was from the bystanders that saw this miracle take place. The Bible says, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." You see, as they witnessed the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, they were absolutely amazed. They were amazed. They were the word amazed means to astonish. They were unable to move, if you will. They were riveted in their places when they saw what Christ could do. Verse 28, what does the Bible say? And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. They went everywhere. Those that witnessed the power of the Lord's grace, they went everywhere, telling everyone of what they heard and what they saw. And soon enough, Christ's fame spread abroad throughout the region. Now that was the response to Christ's miraculous work. Now as Christians, we ought to be excited about Christ's deliverance, amen? If we have been delivered from sin and death and hell, there ought to be an excitement about us. There ought to be an amazement, amen? We sing that hymn, "My Saviour's Love." I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder why he should love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And if he loved us, if he has saved us, we ought to continue to stand amazed and spread his fame abroad, amen, to everyone we meet. Now, these were unbelievers. They saw something of his miraculous power, but you and I as Christians have experienced something of his miraculous power. We know the reality of his grace. We know the reality of his salvation full and free. We know the reality of his assurance of salvation. And brethren, you and I need to be challenged to go out and tell someone about Christ this month. Amen? Are we still amazed? Well, spend time in the Word of God, brethren, and you will be amazed that you and I were just as wicked, just as sinful, just as influenced by the wickedness of this world. And that's where Christ found us, that's where Christ loved us, and that's where Christ delivered us, by the power of his love. Do we really believe, as God's people, that he can do the impossible in the one whom we think is impossible to reach? Brethren, he can. He is willing. Amen? He is able. And that's how we need to witness. That's how we need to approach those around us. We need to spread his fame abroad. So let's not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Let's preach the gospel believing. Let's believe in the miraculous power of the Word of God. Let's believe in the miraculous drawing of Jesus Christ, all men to himself. Let's believe that God is at work in the hearts of those around us. And let's witness as we approach Easter. Let's understand that he is the power. He is able. And let's be cautious about our involvement with spiritual wickedness and darkness in this world. That stuff will hinder you. That stuff will confuse you. At best, it will discourage you. At best. At worst, it will derail you as a Christian. The devil can't possess us, but he can influence us as Christians. What he cannot keep, he seeks to destroy. Threw this man down in a fit of rage. Don't think he loves you and I anymore, friends. There's no good in him at all. So let's be about the Father's business. And let's be a light to those in darkness around us. Ye are the light of the world. Just some simple thoughts. Let's praise the Lord for his love. Let's praise the Lord for his deliverance. If you've been delivered, you've got something to say. Amen? You've got something to say. Something to be amazed about. Something to be excited about, something to tell someone about this week.